search. Each man different, living his own way, searching, discovering numero uno.
Welcome, BBCers, to episode number 163 of the Broken by Concept podcast, the number one solo queue educational and motivational podcast. Curtis, today we're going to fully analyze the XFSN Saber video. Really interesting results from our stats of our good old YouTube studio here, Curtis. Our last video, Curtis, has an 87% like ratio. Compared to all our other videos, have 98%, 98%, 98%, 96%. That's, you know, pretty standard because most of these videos here in this screenshot is like our audience. We didn't really have an external audience. Same with this XFSN Saber. I mean, you could argue maybe we got a lot of, you know, his fans potentially as well. But going to reference our niece video, which was another, I would say, more controversial video and really pushing out our message of the Broken by Concept podcast, Curtis. This, which is, I think our message, Curtis, if we don't do it properly, it's very volatile. It can be nitpicked like in a certain way. And, you know, just the general, the way people currently view League of Legends more as like a game versus a competition, it's very easy to be like really see, like listen to this podcast, like, dude, these guys are just crazy, right? Like how much we love League of Legends that we think is just an awesome game. So the Nice video, that has a 92% like ratio, right? And that has, you know, that's got like, you know, 10 times the views, 112,000. So this is really interesting for us guys, because this is showing us that there's something to tug here. There's some extra things we need to come in here, revisit from our last episode. The big criticism that we got with me specifically for last episode is, Nathan, you didn't even watch the whole video. I want you guys to refer back to one of our episodes, episode 138, on the Broken by Concept podcast, about why we aren't allowed to talk about game balance. And this is coming from the perspective of two full-time League of Legends coaches for the last 3-4 years about how ridiculous it is to us when we hear people talk about stuff like damage, which was a huge thing about XFN Saber. And obviously he talked about more about how that was got to do with the role of AD carry. We're not AD carry players, but still when I hear that, and we'll go through the topics that we're going to talk about and even show some clips from potentially his stream about why this stuff, in terms of our journeys as League of Legends players and what's exciting about the game, this stuff is not that important, guys. It really isn't. And it's hard for some people to really grasp that. And that's a lot of our job in terms of our coaching is like teaching people what actually matters in League of Legends, what actually makes a really good League of Legends player. So we're going to be revisiting this. We're going to be watching the full video from start to finish.
I will say, though, I think, you know, what a large part of what offended people about the last episode is that we didn't do it properly.
No, we didn't do it properly.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. If we half-assed these, especially from someone who's, I mean, he's really well-liked in the community. He's obviously helped a lot of people.
I don't even think it's what, I think if we're going to do a reaction to a video, I think we just got to do the whole video.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you just don't get context.
No.
So to be clear, I hadn't actually watched. No. So I didn't even know we were talking about that last episode. You just brought it as a clip and I'm like, oh, okay, what is this? I hadn't even heard of it. I hadn't seen it. Right. So I think moving forward, what I think definitely something we can take away from it is that if we're going to do a react to something, we got to go all out to get the context of the video at large. I think that's kind of what bothered people.
Yes.
So I think today we're going to look at the video holistically and then really talk about both sides. What bothers us, you know, let's clarify, I mean, your stance and my stance, and let's get into the details.
And we've actually done that. And we actually big proponents of watching full videos from start to finish and stuff. And, you know, people know us for coming with a really, I mean, I wouldn't say completely objective, very logical sort of standpoint. But when I watched that first 4 minutes, I did watch the whole XFN Saber video before I made the video.
Yeah.
The first 4 minutes was so ridiculous to me that my reaction was, I guess, somewhat emotional. I'm just like, I'm just sick of it. Especially when I see content creators his size and people call him an educational content creator coming out with this video. This is why I quit League of Legends. Game balance. And then we'll show you guys a clip a little bit later. This is the last of our problems, guys. That's why I went hard there. And I'm still going to be going very hard because I'm very sort of emotional with this sort of stuff. Because again, guys, like, God, guys, I review games all day.
Well, okay, so I think my job today is I'm going to be kind of like the moderator. I'm going to try and like look at both sides.
Yeah.
I will say though, after watching the video I think you raise a really good point, but I think what we need to be careful of today, and this is something we've noticed in the league. I mean, this is in every industry, but specifically in, with the league industry, there are a lot of loaded terms and people cross lines very easily. So, you know, a part of the discussion talks about game balance. And then a part of it goes into game satisfaction and how do I feel playing the game? Do I enjoy the game? But they're kind of all muddled. Our job is to pull these apart. There is an argument here about game balance. There is an argument there about does he enjoy the game of League of Legends as it currently stands? You know, the role of AD carry and where that is currently in the space of League of Legends. Like, these are all individual arguments. We need to be very careful here, and I think this is what our job is, to deconstruct these videos. And I agree with you in the sense that when you have a content creator of that size, the impact you have on people's view of the game and their relationship with the game and their future with the game is quite significant. So yeah, our job is
so disrespectful to League of Legends. This is just right. It's like when I hear these content creators talk about the game, it's like you're playing a different game to me. I'm playing a different game. I'm sorry. We're playing two different games. Might
be. So I think let's get into it then, right?
Let's go straight into the video.
Because I think we need to get into the details here. I agree. Right? Don't make too many assumptions.
Ducurtis, actually, let's talk about go through your topics that we're going to cover today, Curtis.
Okay, so these are the topics that I definitely want to talk about. We're going to be talking about meta. We are going to be talking about meta specifically with AD carries. We're going to be talking about meta in general, Master Plus. We're going to be talking about... you know, I guess changes to games in general. And I'm actually going to talk about my experience with Counter-Strike because I think there's an interesting story there. And then we're going to be talking about how enjoyment or a lack of enjoyment can potentially, kind of what we touched on last week, but enjoyment and how enjoyment affects your level of play and then how that might affect your relationship with the game and so on and so forth. So there's a few of the things I want to talk about today. So when I kind of find them, we'll kind of dig in here.
All right, so let's go through the video.
Yep.
What's up, guys? So, I'm sure you all have heard, but I have recently decided to quit League of Legends. May come as a surprise to some of you. And probably most of you, honestly, maybe a little bit of a surprise to me, but I just couldn't keep playing this game anymore, you know? you guys are wondering, like, why I quit. I'm sure many of you have come to this stream to ask, like, oh, did you really quit? Why are you quitting? In short, the game... the called League of Legends is simply just not fun. Okay. And maybe other roles are having fun. I don't really know. But when I play ADC, it is not fun. Okay. Unless you're playing Ibi Kai'Sa, doing some BS, one-shotting people, you know. I think that overall, the state of the game for ADC has been unfun and is continuing towards the more unfun trend for the last 3 to 4 years. It's been a while. You know, I've been hoping we're going the other direction in terms of gameplay. And if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, I'm referring to things like the amount of damage in the game, right? The level difference between bot lane and solo lanes, right? So things like in the past, like League of Legends, like, you know, before Season 8, right? Before the 8.11 patch.
Okay, I want to jump in here. Okay, so the first thing that we got to really make sure is very clear is that he, as an individual, wasn't having fun playing AD carry currently in League of Legends. And he says it started kind of this trajectory of whatever, you know, too much damage or the state of AD carry for the it's kind of been in decline, according to him, for the past 3 years. Now, we've got to make it very clear, we don't play AD carry, so we can't comment on exactly the state of AD carry over the past 3-4 years. But I think there's a few important caveats that I think are important to raise now as we go through the video. The first thing that we've got to keep in mind, and this is the point that I was trying to make in the last episode, but I think I have a little bit more context now. As I was referring to in the last episode, the game has changed a lot. And yes, there I would say games are more, I guess, bloody in a way. And, you know, the way the game has evolved, really simply, I'm not going to go too deep on this, but is that mobility, having mobility in solo queue and things like that matters a lot. Now, a fact, if you actually look at the top rated 80 carry players in the across all servers, they basically all have the same champ pool now, right? They basically all played. There was like a huge Zeri meta. You had to play Zeri, Kai'Sa, Ezreal, Xayah. A lot of champions that have mobility, dashes.
Tools that can peel themselves.
Right? We also went through a long-standing meta where Shilbo was incredibly strong for a long-ass time that mitigated a lot of that, albeit it is nerfed now. But the therefore, the champions in the bot lane that have become the meta and are the strongest are the ones that inherently have a shit ton of self-peel and mobility. That's kind of been the meta, and that's kind of been as it is. Now, yes, we do go through utility metas where Ashe kind of comes in and Jhin and whatever it might be, but for the most part, at least this year, a lot of Kai'Sa, a lot of Zeri, Ezreal, Xayah, and you can look at the stat. You can just go on right now and look at the top ranked AD carries. They all basically have the same pool. Now, the reason this is actually crucial is that you've got to think about the context of Saber's journey in solo queue. He is a higher elo player. The games he is playing in, we're going to get specific, rank-wise, probably master tier games. He's a low master player, right? So he's playing in master tier games. Now, in order to climb and have success in solo queue reliably as an AD carry, as a lot of high elo AD carries know, playing non-meta AD carries is, or non-meta anything or any role, makes your journey a hell of a lot harder.
It's not impossible.
Not impossible.
But you need to definitely raise your standards in massively. Terms of mistakes that you make in your game.
There is a reason. Like it is the most effective tactics available. Mm. They are the strongest on them and the patch.
You can make, you'll be more lenient. You can make a bunch of mistakes and you can still be strong throughout the game.
Yeah, you don't probably have to be as on point. Yes, that is correct. So my point being is that, you know, he's not having fun, but we've got to think about with what? What is he not having fun with? Well, he's a Caitlyn player. He plays predominantly Caitlyn. If you look at his OBGG for this year, last year, it's predominantly Caitlyn. He's a Caitlyn player. Caitlyn hasn't been in the greatest position for a pretty long time, right? So his experiences in solo queue are very tied to that of Caitlyn. Now, again, we're going to make this very, very clear. Any content creator, anyone, or not even any player, Master Plus, who doesn't play meta and, you know, is having a hard time in solo queue, you know, you got to take their opinion with a grain of salt because it's a very nuanced, very niche view of the game.
You're talking about, you know, again, bringing it back to how League of Legends is a competition. Let's say there's a million players in the server, master and stuff. You know, we're talking about the top thousands of people, right?
Yep.
Think about that. Think about how you, Billy, wants to be better and higher ranks than me, the Caitlyn player. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go play Kai'Sa and stuff like that. And just like, you know, just absolutely just, you know, take over games and stuff, you know? And like, let's say I'm sitting there making lots of mistakes and stuff like that. Dude, I'm not going to be able to beat you ever, you know? I need to raise my standards.
Yeah. So, you know, as we go through this, and even now in any server right now, there is really, in my opinion, only two types of players in high elo. Ready? There are high elo players who will do whatever it takes and play whatever is strongest and have a great champ pool to maximize their champion winning. And also coincide with competitive players, right? There are these players.
Yep.
Then there are players who specialize in particular champions, knowing that they're not meta, but they love those champions so much, they're willing to go to the ends of the earth to make them work. That's it.
And they do make them work.
And
it's incredibly hard to.
Right.
You're competing at the top of a ladder against people that are playing the meta.
Right. You look at these players all over. There's like a high elo kindred mid, you know, player and whatever it might be. You look at any champ, there's probably like one trick that's challenged or whatever. My point being is that there are only two types of players. So you either are that one trick or two trick that is playing a suboptimal champion and love the champ so much that it doesn't even matter. And they don't give a shit about the state of the game a lot of the time. They complain. Like, I know Elite, like, you see a lot of these one tricks, they do complain at times, but that's the journey you signed up for, That is the journey you signed up for. Now, I can't speak for exactly what he is feeling. One of the themes that I want to bring this back to, at least from my perspective, and I understand, at the end of the day, fun is subjective. At the end of the day, no one is forcing him to play the game. And if you don't enjoy the trajectory of the game and the meta of the 80 carries and the way the game is evolving, a very brutal in nature, a lot of dive, you need self-peel, good positioning, all this stuff. If you don't want to do that, I understand that. That's fine. I want to make it very clear to the audience that I'm not discrediting his opinion for saying that the game is unfun through 80 carry. But all I'm saying is that we need to understand the context of his situation so we can make sense of that opinion. And like, you know, do we give it a high sense of, is there a high credibility here or a low sense of credibility? Like how strong should we take this opinion seriously? That's what I want this episode to be about. Now, the one thing that I want to talk about is, and this is what I've noticed in my program on it many, many, many times. They say, Curtis, I want to play this champion. I love this champion. They play this champion. They lose a lot of games because this champion maybe sucks in the role right now, is just not designed for that role, whatever it might be. And they start losing. They start losing some more. They start losing. And they start losing their fucking mind. Because we've said time and time again, winning is fun. Whether you want to admit it, we all play to win, right? Now, if you're not winning, what happens? The game does come quite unfun. The game does feel shit. Everything feels shit. You feel shit. Things feel unbalanced. Everything, your entire view of the game becomes fucked.
Yeah, you can get confused very easily.
Very, very, very quickly.
You can lose your mind.
You lose your mind very quickly.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen this many, 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 many times, okay? So what happens is that if someone's not playing the meta, they lose a lot, they're not having fun, that lack of fun makes them play worse. Mm. This is, again, just is what I've noticed. I'm not saying that, I can't say this happening to him, but it could very well be. You play worse. And then what happens when you play worse? You lose more. So then you have a choice. And what I say to my clients is this, drop the champion, dude. Play something that is somewhat, you know, decent in your role, and then they win, and then they love League of Legends, they're happy, and they're motivated, and they love it. And that's what I've noticed. So I think that this could be very well a contributing factor to why he's not having fun. Brute forcing Caitlyn and losing games and not getting into the details and not really critiquing and taking his game base to the next level.
Yeah, two things is what I'm hardcore on. The not getting into the details, not getting into the details and criticizing your own gameplay. Again, just from watching his stream a bit, like that is just absolutely critical. If you're playing like these if you're, you know, I want us to all come together as a community, right? We look at all a bunch of 80 carry games and we explain, okay, what does it look like then? How does an 80 carry actually lose a game? What does a great game look like? Instead of just talking about all this, like, I need to see clips. I need to see gameplay. This is obviously the downside of obviously the podcast is because we're talking about the game. But if I see clips, guys, if anyone see clips, you can clearly see the skill difference, the skills that you need to see from Mr. Gumyushi, you know, professional play 80k players, and Mr. Master TR 80k.
But I will say, he does say in the video, which we'll get to, he does say that 80k is not a weak role. He does say that. He makes it very clear. He did say 80k. I don't mean that 80k is not a weak role. He says the feeling of it is not correct. It's not fun, right? So we got to make that distinction. So I just want to put that there. We'll continue on.
Let's continue on.
That gives us a bit of context here, okay?
I remember that you had to hit everything. So if you hit everything and your opponent missed something, you would win, right? It's a game of like it would be very detailed. It'd be very like, if I'm playing Sivir versus Lucian and I Q him, I hit both parts of my Q, auto attack cancel, and I flash his Q or his spell shielded, I will win, right? It's like if the guy who hits more stuff is gonna win. And if you can dodge something, you're going to win. Right, and nowadays, that is obviously not the case, right? I mean,
I'm going to call this out right now. Okay, so.
Straight bullshit.
What XSN Sabres here is saying, he's saying that back in the old days, you'd have to hit all your abilities.
The game was more skillful, apparently.
You have to hit all your abilities, and right now you can miss abilities and still win the game. Okay. Even if that is somewhat true, you know what he's thinking about here? This is a very, very high elo challenger principle that I would say is missing here. The speed of plays is critical to get an objective, tempo, speed. If you hit all your skill shots, let's say even if you do eventually kill him, you're probably going to get yourself killed. You're going to be over chasing. Mm. The speed of plays, the efficiency is critical for the best, the top goddamn players, guys, all right? So that's one thing already that's completely out of his argument. And this is why I always get a little bit skeptical, a little bit afraid, you know, when I see specifically, you know, someone that's in, you know, Master Tier D1, they're not really seeing that sort of, you know, the top challenger guys, it's about speed, efficiency, hitting your abilities is so important. Doesn't matter what stage of the game. That is League of Legends for you.
I've never felt that. And at the moment, I play bot secondary. I've been playing bot lane. I've never felt like I can get away
with missing a bunch of abilities.
Yeah. It's like, I miss my ability, I don't do damage. I get hit by abilities, I take damage. It's the game is always the game. I will say complete bullshit. That is an emotional statement. That is complete and utter bullshit. So, and again, this is a bit triggering to me when I see this clip, because this clip is just, it feels like fake news. It feels like I'm watching like some like biased political TV station that's kind of like cherry picking points to like get across their point here. Like, look at this clip for a second. I'm just gonna like mute it. I'm just gonna mute the audio for a second, right? And for those of you who unfortunately this is in the podcast, essentially, you know, if you're not watching the YouTube, he's just like playing this fight as Caitlyn versus like this really low rage comp, and no one's targeting him, and he has like front.
Everyone's
line,
used all their abilities,
and like
already.
Renekton's just standing in front of his face with no abilities, and he's just free hitting. And, like, this is, like, a one in the... like, yeah, playing Eddie Carry will always feel good in this situation.
You can find these clips easy peasy.
Yeah, this happens in games to
right
this
now,
day.
To this day.
My point being is that, like, that clip is just... yeah, sure, it's like every Eddie Carry is watching them. Yeah, I love it when I'm in that situation. Like, no shit. Like, I would love it if I'm playing Syndra and just throwing Qs out and no one's hitting me, like... you can make that same argument for any champion. Like, I just feel like that clip is just really kind of tilting for me personally. So I don't think it's a good representation of the argument. Like, if this, show me the argument, show me what this looks like, you know, show me what the game, if it was so great, show me what it looks like, and then show me now.
Yeah. I mean, I just
can't. There's a quote that I love.
Yeah.
Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Okay. This is an extraordinary claim. If you're going to make a claim like this, show me the extraordinary evidence. That is not evidence in the slightest. Mm. This is what I'm going to be very careful here, okay? Mm.
And again, going back to missing skill shots and like still killing people, how many people here can think about times in their games where you miss a bunch of skill shots, you kill someone, and then everyone dies because it's like we chased them into, took them forever chasing their jungle. And if you just review the game, you look, if I just hit my E here, then this everything's just cleaner. Wow, isn't that cool?
I've been playing a lot of Nefiri recently, and I can't tell you how many scenarios where like I just miss my Q and I just die. I had two items as a Nefiri with lethality, and I couldn't kill an Aphelios with 1.5 items because I missed my Q. Think about that for a second. Like, I could use a clip and be like, oh my god, look how shitty mid lane is. Look how shitty Nefiri is. Look how weak assassins are nowadays. Anyway, my point's...
I had to remove Belveth from the Soul 2 Academy because it was just so reliant on hitting W. It was, like, ridiculous. Like, the champion is basically useless if you're going to hit Ws because you get the Q reset. It's so important.
Okay, so we'll continue on. That is bullshit, though. 100% bullshit.
Number of champions from any role just killing you with half their abilities. Like, the last day I played League, that last League stream, in that same stream, there was a Fizz... who is fed from mid lane, came out of lane 3 levels ahead of me. That's fine, you know. Sometimes that happens. But the crazy part was he just pressed R from max range, like QR'd from max range. And I'm like, oh, he can't like E me or Q me. Like, I can't die. And then after I got hit by the ulti, the shark ate me, and then he auto-attacked once and I died. And I was like, okay, so he just like didn't hit Q or E. And
yeah, we've already covered this. Like, this is a meme. Like,
if you get hit by a max range Fizz R, is not easy to hit. If you're getting hit by that as an 80 carry, that is your problem.
Is that the Gigalodon R as well? Let me see what range it is, what tier it is.
I think it's massive.
Nah, it's the middle. Oh.
That looks pretty bad. Yeah, it actually might have been. That's huge, dude.
Yeah, but that's a meme. You know, it's a fed Fizz. You're a real full squishy Caitlyn with no defensive.
And you're 0-5.
Of course, and you're going to get one
and
shot.
And Fizz is 10-2. And so, you should, and that's how it
and
should
And you
be.
Should. That's exactly how but the game
he, basically, work. He was saying, okay, a lot of people's point was, usually Fizz in the past has to E as well. I don't think so.
No.
I don't think ever no. in the game's ever been like
if
that.
If a Fizz is that fed, I was a Fizz main. I'm telling you right now, that is a straight one shot, no matter what. If you don't have exhaust, if you don't have any MR, you don't have, you're two levels down, and Fizz has a Medjize with, you know, that amount of stacks, and that fed, it's not even close. Because you've got to remember, Fizz has taken Electro, probably got Sudden Impact as well. There's the extra Magic Pen there. It's not even close. I'm pretty sure he actually went for the W, by the way. Fizz, it wasn't just R, by the way.
Or Q me, like, I can't die.
It was actually, there was an auto attack, the W empowered auto attack as well.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just the R. Yeah. So something to keep in mind. It was the W and the R.
And then after.
So this is just embarrassing. So let's continue on from this.
After I got hit by the ulti, the shark ate me, and then he auto attacked once and I died. And I was like, okay, so he just like didn't hit Q or E, and then I'm dead, or what's going on here, right? And then in that same day, there was a Yasuo who was three levels ahead of me for whatever reason. And me and my supporter sitting under tower, I was me and Emilio, okay? And we're just sitting on the tower. He third Q hits me deep on the tower, ultis. And then I have to flash because I lost half my health to the ulti itself somehow. And then he just walked away. I'm like, me and Emilio are like hitting him. He just like walked away. And I was like.
Again, we've already covered this. It all makes sense. There's nothing confusing about this. No. I think it's. We will save his face here by not going over this because I think, it's a bit embarrassing. So we'll continue on here.
Oh, like. Is this real? He's like literally deep under my tower, just walking away, not even dashing away, bro. He's just like walking away. I don't know. It just got to me, okay? Like that stuff just got to me. And we're going in the reverse. We're going the wrong direction, you know? They're like, oh, maybe durability patch is going to like, I don't know, put the game towards the direction where we want it. You know, maybe we don't one shot people at 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Maybe Lux, you won't do half your health even when they're support. You know, I don't understand why this exists. Maybe Caitlyn ulti won't instantly kill someone like you saw in my last video. There is no universe where Caitlyn ulti should ever full to zero someone, okay? Like that is just not okay. It's just like I don't think that is what League of Legends should be about, right? I think
okay, he talks about the Caitlyn ult full one shot in someone from 100 to 0. That doesn't happen
that
for
doesn't
one.
Happen.
It could take you, I think if you go the full lethality,
if you go
it's
full
like 80%
lethality and you're targeting a very squishy champion, it will do a lot of damage.
But you have
makes
your
sense.
Useless champion in any other situation. That's
what else are you going to do?
Think about you in a team fight versus a Kai'Sa or a Kog'Maw, or a Xayah. Dude, this
if the ult didn't do a lot of damage with full lethality into a squishy target, then it'd be the worst ult in the game.
Exactly right. Like, that is fine. I have seen those ults. I'm like, oh, cool, though. That's what Caitlyn's her strength is this game. This is what other champions'
but
strengths are this
game.
But
also, you've got to think about the context of the kit, right? So this is what I think is very important to think about right now. You can't think of kits in isolation using specific fucking situations.
It's so easy to look at the game.
Because that's not the way the game is designed, right? So I'm going to use Fizz because he was talking about Fizz, right? I'm very passionate about this. Fizz is just one of those dog shit laners in the game. You have zero non-committal poke farming ability. Okay? Just let that sink in for a second. Zero. The only way you last hit and you're a true melee, right, is you have to literally walk up and get hit by something.
And if you want to wave clear, you have to use your escape
main,
ability.
You have to use your main escape ability and your main trading ability.
Yeah.
Right? Just think about it for a second. And you've got high mana costs.
Yeah.
Okay? So think about that.
Clear weaknesses.
So if you are, and so that is why the champion has to have a lot of damage, because if it didn't have a lot of damage inbuilt in the kit, then what does it have? It has no CC. It has no range. It has nothing. So you have to get rewarded by getting fed. If you get fed, it has to inherently snowball. That is the way the kit designed, right? Now let's think about Caitlyn. Caitlyn is a lane bully. right? You pair Caitlyn with things like a Karma or whatever, and you dominate lane because you have insanely high range, and you win lane. You don't play to scale or go behind or even with Caitlyn. If you're going even and you're playing things like Kate Karma, you just lose the game because your champ is just shit comparatively to other champions. So if you're versing a, let's say, we'll use one of the champs that he was talking about, Kai'Sa, right? If you're not dominating the Kai'Sa in lane and you're not picking Caitlyn with the correct support and you're not winning lane and you're getting into the mid game even, you're going to lose. Your kit is going to look shitter because you've already
your strengths are all in on the lane phase.
Your strengths are already, you've messed up. Mm. You've already messed up, you know? Mm. So yeah, but if you get ahead as Caitlyn, you dominate your lane, you're really far ahead of the enemy, and you ult someone with full lethality, you're going to do a lot of damage. You get rewarded for it. Everything in League makes sense.
Clear strengths and weaknesses.
Clear strengths and weaknesses in every situation. Mm. So I don't understand any of these arguments so far anyway. Mm. The only one that I understand is that it might not feel fun for you, and that's okay. But again, I think it's important that we understand the context here. And I think there's a lot of emotional baggage here. And this is what the point we tried to make in the last episode, that is influencing his decisions and influencing his take on the game. And I think that's the dangerous thing here that we really got to keep an eye on.
We're talking about playing with Caitlyn from a jungler's perspective. I know that whenever I've got a Caitlyn Karma lane, I need to be pathing that. I need to be pressuring there. I'm fully aware if I make mistakes pressuring or tracking the enemy jungler and getting them behind, I will most likely lose that game. I've accepted that going into the game as a jungler. I am aware of that's how the game works. And we can snowball the game out of control super easily. I've done that many a times. And I've also been on the other end of that many a times. I've stuffed up. Or, you know, maybe it was the Caitlyn's fault a little bit here and there. But typically, most of the time, I can have a lot of influence on a Caitlyn lane.
And if you don't enjoy that style of play as Caitlyn, play a different champ.
You need to accept that. You're signing the solo queue contract. When you play these types of champs.
You don't, you know. And Caitlyn, I would say in the past, probably was maybe a little bit more forgiving, right? It's not, and so maybe that is what he's feeling. Maybe he's feeling like Caitlyn has progressively got less and less forgiving, potentially. Because Caitlyn, in a way, didn't, like, it did go through a stage where you could kind of just farm and you were just kind of strong and stuff like that. But that ship has kind of sailed just with the direction of the way the game has gone. So, you know, I can tell he's probably emotionally affected by the fact that Caitlyn specifically has not been the strongest champ.
League of Legends should be about making strategic decisions and being able to have the mechanics to pull it off, right? So,
all right, I got to stop here, Curtis. This is the perfect time to pull up this clip here, Curtis, all right?
Okay.
He talks about being strategic and having mechanics to pull things off, right? And just talking about, again, this is let's just pull up the clip.
Wait, okay. So I want to give context to this. Any context. So what happened, right, is that I was curious. I'm like, okay, well, I went to his Twitch. I was like, let's go to his latest. All right, I'm going to give the story. Because this can come across really disingenuous. That's if right. We don't give context. Absolutely. Here. So I was talking to Nathan. I said, we're reading the YouTube comments. And we said, okay, people didn't believe we were genuine in the way we portrayed this video and his reaction to his video. We didn't do it justice. So I said, okay, if we're going to do it justice, I got to watch this video. So I watched the video. And I said, out of interest, what rank is this guy? When's the last time he played League, right? So I found his OPG. I went to his Twitch to find his OPGG to see what account he was playing on. So I went to the latest League clip. I paused it at the start of the clip to find his name. Went to his OPGG, saw he was playing D1, low master, hasn't been challenged in a while, a long time. And then I'm like, okay, out of interest, I'm going to keep it in a moment. Let's see the level he's play. This was the first lane, right, of the latest VOD that I clicked on. This wasn't just a random, I didn't cherry pick. This was the first VOD I clicked on. All right, we're going to play out what we saw, and then I sent this to Nathan. I'm like, this was just the first clip. Okay, so we'll play this out here. So essentially, he's playing Caitlyn bot right now. He's playing Caitlyn Milio versus an Ashe Blitz. He's got the shove here, which is looking great.
Goes for the ward, perfect.
Good little ward here to prevent the level 3 gank. We'll put up the volume here as well. Whoops, I've messed that one up. How do I get rid of this?
God damn it, Curtis. Here you go. There we go. Done.
Oh. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm butchering this one. Sorry, guys. All right, we're going to go back here. So essentially, he's playing Caitlyn, and he kind of just gets blitzcrank hooked. So sorry, watch that one more time. I got distracted. So he looks like he was trying to like skill check or like net the hook or something, and then just kind of walks up and gets blitzcrank hooked. And then he has to blow cleanse because he gets ignited, and basically gets chased down, waste flash, and that's like lane over.
Yep. And this is great because this is real. People talk about the game and talk about their opinion and stuff like that. If you don't get into the details and you have all these perceptions about the game, you can look over this stuff so easily. Guys, X7 Saber, he's an just educational 80-carry content creator. If he showed this clip, you could say, he even caught says, my bad. He knows that he's probably just reducing his chances of the game. But, you know, I always say you can't really be talking about game balance when this is the level of the mistakes that you're making. The level of mistakes that I'm making, I do similar stuff like this. My gameplay looks like bronze.
Yeah,
sometimes.
We both make disgusting... All right? I've made mistakes like this.
Yes.
All the time. But we don't talk about game balance.
Yes, exactly right. And that is what episode number 138 was about. We were going through a bunch of our clients' clips, and I think we had some of our clips as well. It's like, we're not allowed to be talking about it. We just don't have the right when this is League of Legends, guys. Getting hit by a blitzcrank hook, just point blank, no dodging whatsoever, is going to lose you a game. You know?
And it's going to feel shit. The game is going to feel shit after this
game is going to feel absolutely terrible. Yeah, and it's going to be super fun.
It's literally over. It's end of room mistake. If you're dying this early as Caitlyn, blowing your both arms, it's done.
And this is why, because our view of the game and our coaching style, this whole end of review, it's intimidating to some people, but it's so positive because it helps us not get confused about the game. And because the moment you start getting confused about it, let's say if he goes and reviews this game, he's 0-5, and he's like, oh, talking about the game, you know, he's just getting one shot.
I think he did use...
Is this the game he used?
I think this was the game where he was versing the Yasuo, and I think the Yasuo...
Oh, God.
You know?
That's so sad. Are we 100% sure?
Let's just double check that, but I'm like 90% sure. So let's go back here. Where's the other clip?
We're on this here. So we're at 4:42. Let's
go. Okay, so we'll go back. So let's go to the clip where he dies to the Yasuo.
It's the next one. Yep.
This one. It is this game, right? So the game we saw before with the Yasuo, he'd lost his tower bot and got shit on bot side. And then kind of goes to mid and then starts getting shit on by
the... Dude, we're not looking at... This is...
You know what I mean? Like, how can we use a clip from this game?
Yeah.
You know? So, my point there is, I think, look, we're not here to shit on that mistake. We all make mistakes. But I think that...
Like, it's emphasizing that this is League of Legends. That's the important part of the game.
Yeah, that's
these
the important
are how
part of
you're
game.
Losing games. This is how you're losing
and
games.
And I think that it's very difficult to talk about game balance when you're losing a lot. Like, I feel like, because you just can't be logical because your view of the game is so messed up. Like, I feel like the only people that can actually talk about game balance are the people that are working at Riot that actually understand the big picture about the game, or the people that are the highest elo and understand playing the best League of Legends game as it is. Because there's no, like they're not making basic mistakes anymore.
And they're pretty much, min-maxing, optimizing every aspect of the game most of the time.
And it's not that we shouldn't listen. Again, I want to make that point as well. I think it's important we go to the other side. Like, everyone should have a voice. The low elo community, the middle elo community, the high elo, everyone. I just think that we need to verify and understand the context of this situation, right? Like, it's like, okay, like that story where... you know, you need to question their intentions as well. You need to question everyone's intention. So, based off this situation. So, I think that's basically pretty self-explanatory. You want to continue on?
Continue on.
Like people use like World of Warcraft raid analogies all the time. They're like, okay, you have to like memorize the boss patterns. And then like, you know, when he does this pattern, you have to like counter with this, or you have to heal up with this, or you have to make sure not to get hit with this. And then you kind of want to do that in a team fight when you're playing any role. You're playing ADC, okay, you're like, I gotta not get hit by RE charm, I gotta not get hit by Hecarim ulti, you know, all this CC stuff. And then nowadays it's just, okay, I'm just not gonna walk up.
Let's again talk about this clip. So he's talking about there that, you know, you should get rewarded, I think, for like playing well and knowing everything, right? This was an old clip here. I want to really look at this one. I don't know what season this clip is in, but this was a Tank Nunu, right? It's not an AP Nunu.
And Tank Gragas as well.
And Tank Gragas at this point. This is when, because obviously the game, like this must have been in a tank meta. I mean, this is ages ago, because look, this is skirmishing saber.
So
this is really old.
9, 10.
Yeah, this is really old. So the game has definitely changed a lot here. He has a Mercs. He has a QSS. He's 7-3. He's really fed. He has a Soraka as well. I actually feel like an AD carry should die there. I feel like there, if I'm being brutally honest, an AD carry should die in that situation. I actually think the game is better if an AD carry gets caught out of position here by a Gragas. Think about how unsatisfying the game would be if you're in their shoes right now. I feel like the game makes more sense now.
It does, yeah.
The Gragas did a really good play. They caught the Caitlyn out of position here. Like, Caitlyn, like, greeds flash massively, gets knocked back, gets hit by a bunch of shit, and, like, doesn't die. Like, I would prefer to live in a world in which a Caitlyn gets punished for that positioning. Personally, I think the game is way better. Way, way better. And I could be biased because I'm not an AD carry and I'm a mid lane. Actually, I'm going to say I am biased, but trying to be logical here with the way the game is, the way I view AD carry is that you are a scaling, very squishy, right? Champion that does a lot of damage that needs to be rewarded for good quality positioning. Would you say this is good quality positioning? You know? So you want to play a game that's this forgiving? No, in my opinion, no. I don't really want to play a game that's this forgiving. This is why probably Riot made those changes, right? Made these changes to make the game better. They obviously had good reason or good intent to believe that the direction of the game is better. And now we're getting into who's opinion, like, who should we listen to? We got me on one side saying, I think the game is better like it is now versus that. And then you've got another person saying they prefer that instead of this. So it doesn't, again, this is where it's all just subjective, right? I have my arguments and he has his arguments. But I think that, like, we need to think logically about this. I think with these topics, it's so easy to get so emotional and get, like, you know, it's so hard to
talk about League. League is a very emotional game.
Very emotional game, isn't it?
And we all have our role. We all have different duties, responsibilities in the game. And
yeah.
You know, I always talk about it from a jungler's perspective. Junglers can ruin games very easily by doing bad ganks.
And this is why champs like the Zeri and the Zaya and the Kai'Sa are just, you know, better right now. Because of this. Like, you have people diving on you. If anything,
you win the game here if everyone committed to a Zaya and ults and all Zaya kills everyone.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, you should get punished as a Caitlyn for being positioned like that. But anyway.
But, I mean, if the enemy team is good, they know that Zaya ults. Zaya will still die.
Yeah, that's right.
As well.
So yeah, there's counterplay to everything. Yeah. But my point being is that I just think it's important to see the other side of the coin here. We're seeing it through one lens. This is my lens.
Yeah.
So we continue on here.
And then you kind of want to do that in a team fight when you're playing any role. You're playing ADC. Okay, you're like, I got to knock you hit by RE Charm. I got to knock you hit by Hecarim Ulti, you know, all this CC stuff. And then nowadays, it's just, okay, I'm just not going to walk up because Fizz Q auto attack, Flash Q auto attack with a knight is like 80% of my health. So
you can't use that. He's got to stop using that argument. Yeah. Like, come on, that just hurts. If you're getting hit by an R as an AD carry, you've already messed up. You've already messed up. That means you're not behind your front line. You're away from your support. You didn't track your flanks. You're in a shitty position. You got outplayed. The Fizz outplayed you. You know how hard it is as an AD carry to get in that position to in mid lane get an R point blank onto an AD carry. It's so hard. That never happens to me. Yeah. I always had to be coming from a flank or using Fog of War. Yeah. Of course they should get rewarded for that.
Going back to your point, Curtis, about, I was just trying to think a little bit more about, you know, it says like this, the game was like worse here. Like the game's still fine. It's still League of Legends because if I'm a jungler reviewing this game, I'm a Nuno. I'm 2-7-9. How did
do you want to end
a
review for the Nuno?
Yeah, the end of review is 10,000 times anyway. So I don't care that I wasn't able to kill Caitlyn at that point. You know what I mean? So that's the other thing. Like,
everything makes sense.
How is a Caitlyn 10-3? There's a million mistakes before.
Yeah. How are you? Yeah. You're a Nuno with 3 losing lanes. What happened there?
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm happy. Even if, I'm happy to jungle in that game set as well. Like, I couldn't get less because I am aware. I respect the game. League of Legends is League of Legends. There's good decision and there's bad decisions. There's the snowball aspect of
but
the game.
But it's all so similar. Like, really, you know what I mean? Like, I haven't felt like my skill set as a player is diminished over the seasons because of the direction of the game and the game balance.
No, like, it hasn't at all. Like, if anything, we've gotten better because we have a better understanding of the game.
Yeah, like, I think it's kind of...
And I say that, Curtis, we've been saying the same things. In, like, some things change, minute things here throughout the seasons and champions and maybe matchups and stuff. And I mean, with Jungle Path here, but overall, the principles all stay the same. Gold, experience, good gank, bad gank. Like I said, I've been saying the same things for 3 years.
Okay, so I want to now talk about something here, which is an interesting take. So... I feel like he's going down a route where he, again, like I've tried to make it clear anyway. I think there's a lot of mental baggage here that's affecting his decisions and his view of the game. And he's playing shit League of Legends and that's tainting his view of the game, right? You know, there are genuine changes in the direction of a game. That happens in all games. My experience, I was a hardcore Counter-Strike Source player. I played 1.6 and I played Source. In 1.6 and Source, grenades, specifically smokes, were kind of shit. Smokes weren't really that effective. So essentially, for those of you who haven't played Counter-Strike, there's like grenade, a smoke grenade, and that would like cover an area. And so what happened is that in Go, when Go came out, like Valve took that direction of the game to be more strategic, less about like winning a duel, and grenades became increasingly more important. Like you had to know the flashes, you had to know the smokes. And smokes were really, really strong. Like you could control an entire point with a smoke. And anyway, my point being is that I came from the Counter-Strike Source and I genuinely disliked playing Counter-Strike Go. It wasn't the game for me. I didn't enjoy the direction they took the game. And albeit it makes it a better game. It makes it more strategic. It's actually a better view. It's actually better to watch as well, rather than everyone running through a corridor or then being some like complete aim check every single time. Is now genuinely more strategic. Does that mean I wanted to play? I'm not forced to play that game. I move games, right? That wasn't the main reason I left, but it was a large reason why I didn't continue to play Go. So it's okay to dislike the direction of a game. And so I think there are genuine, like you can have genuine dislikes about the direction of a game. Let's say he doesn't like the fact that you need to have a lot of mobility in your kit as an AD carry and how brutal the game has become in terms of how snowball it is, whatever. That's okay. That is, if you don't like that, you don't need to play the game. And that would be a genuine, that makes sense. If you don't like the snowballing nature of League and you don't like how, if you get punished for positioning or whatever it might be, or you get punished for dying in lane, okay. No one, you know, that is a genuine claim and I have nothing against that. The only thing, what I want to talk about here, there's a difference between that genuine claim, and then pulling in stuff about game balance and throwing that in the mix.
Absolutely.
That's where we need to, again, I really want to make that clear, that distinction. Mm. You know?
Mm. Like, 80% of my health. So maybe I just like, it's not even CC at this point. It's just like, oh, I just die by existing. You know, I literally die by existing. Okay, maybe I'm just bad. Maybe I'm terrible. That's true. I'm very washed, okay? Anyone can say that. This guy sucks, you know. He used to be challenger every season, and then this season the first time he didn't hit challenger. It's true, man. I'm just bad now. But a lot of I think being bad is also how much you enjoy the game. And if you love the game, I think you will find the time to you know, get good at it, have fun with it, play as much as you can. Like, you know, you know me in Korea, right? Like when I went to Korea last time, I was playing like 12, 16 hours a day. And then after that, I was editing immediately. I loved the game was fun, man. It was so fun, you know, can't stop. And I find myself the last week, the last month, like I can't even, you know, I wake up thinking that, oh, maybe today will be better. Maybe League will be better today. I'm just constantly disappointed with how many times I feel like I just couldn't do anything in the game. You know, maybe it's because I'm playing the worst champion. But even when I play other champions, I'm just like, this is just fucking doomed, man. Like, it's just unbearable, right? There are just too many cases where ADC is just not fun. Okay, so let's say you lose lane for some reason. Maybe you.
Okay, so there's so many things here, and what I'm viewing this again at a high level. Like he's really mix matching so many things here, and this is where we've got to be so careful because I totally agree with his idea that if you're not enjoying the game, you're not going to climb.
Nope.
If you don't enjoy the game, you're not going to... That's just a fact. And you're spot on, because you're not going to want to play the game. You're not going to want to play with intensity. You're not going to care about winning. It all starts with fun and enjoyment. And that, if you're not having fun, you will play worse. Fact. Straight up fact. Where that lack of fun is coming from, though, that's the interesting bit. Again, that ties in. Is he not having fun because of genuinely the way the game is, or because he's playing like shit and he's like, quote unquote, washed, playing the worst champion of the game? That's what I think the real reason is. He is playing poor League of Legends. The player base has gotten better. He's playing a champ that isn't great in high elo and hasn't figured out a way to make it work. And that's contributing to him having not much fun. That's my take. And again, we don't know the truth here. That's my take.
Yep. People are very good at artificially creating reasons for why League is
no, but he
fun.
Can't be logical. This is what I'm saying. It's impossible for him to be logical. No. It's so emotional. He's thinking about it. He's quitting League. He's like made a career off League. He's done coaching League. His identity has been the challenger, Caitlyn player. It's so messy emotionally. He wouldn't even know the truth. He wouldn't be feasible until he steps away from the game and looks back like a month from now. He's not ready. You can tell. Like he's a bit of a mess. And I have nothing against the guy. He seems like a really lovely guy. But he can tell he's really fucked mentally right now. Like
yeah,
straight
that's
up.
That's the way of saying it, yeah.
Like he really is. Like he's what I've got the definition of stage four problems. Yes. And he's got some ideas. He's right. He isn't having fun. But he hasn't really got to the core reason of why I think he isn't having fun. I just don't believe it has anything to do with game balance, personally.
He talks about...
Because the arguments he's using are so bullshit. Yeah, that's the red flag there.
That's right. Yeah, they don't make sense.
They don't make sense.
When he talks about... He has to reword it with... He plays other AD carries and he doesn't have fun. No, you're a Caitlyn player. He's a Caitlyn main. He doesn't have the champ mastery on other champions to have
fun.
He
plays way more Caitlyn than anything else.
That's right. So if you're going to compare your Caitlyn to anything else, even though his Caitlyn's his best champion by far, if he plays a meta champ, let's say Caitlyn's at like his Caitlyn's at like, let's say his skill level plus Caitlyn's at like a 6. If Kai'Sa is really, really strong, his lack of champ mastery, he can maybe get the Kai'Sa to like maybe a 4, but his Caitlyn's actually still better, even though it's technically a worst champion. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying here, because he hasn't put in that time. Much time, and
he might not enjoy that champ.
And he might, but what does well with One Tricks as well? Their view of the game is so. This is what for me when I was on Udi One Trick,
but very distorted.
My view of the game was distorted because I had played them, built the muscle for so long, and it took me months, years, even to like understand. Like ganking, quote unquote, ganking junglers like Rek'Sai,
and especially with Caitlyn, because it actually is a niche AD carry.
It's so niche.
It's niche,
right?
How
you win games.
The way you win games, you have to win lane.
Yeah.
That idea, isn't that weird? Like you've been playing Caitlyn for so long, you're so used to having higher range, winning lane, being able to bully and poke, and then imagine like you play a different champ like Kai'Sa. It's like so different. So different.
Yeah, for me being like a tank jungle player to doing damage, that took me ages. And I initially didn't have fun. I hated it. I was like, why would I play this? It doesn't make sense to me. And it wasn't until I really brute force got into the details and I'm like, dude, this is so awesome. I love these champs.
Yeah, I was losing my mind recently with Nefiri. I thought it was the shittest champ. I was like, I couldn't get it. And then I told you today, I had a breakthrough massively with Nefiri. It all clicked. I'm like, oh, now I get it. It's actually fun. It genuinely becomes fun because I'm winning and I'm getting kills. And I feel strong, you know?
But you wanted to. You were relentless trying to figure out, okay, I'm going to figure this champion out.
I was inting for days. Yeah.
But a lot of people will give up, Curtis.
Yep.
And then blame game balance.
Yep. And when I was learning Talia on my main, I had like people say in my lobby, stop playing Talia. And now it's like probably one of my better champs.
There you go.
Just takes time.
Yep.
You just got to...
Time, process, get into the details. Into win. Yeah.
Into win.
Grief lane, maybe your support grief lane, maybe your jungle dies to their bot lane under tower for some reason. You know, that's happened before. And then you lose. Okay, that's fine. And then maybe you can't do anything. And then their mid laner roams and you get the ult. Okay, that's fine. And then all of a sudden they have like 2 jackets. Whatever. Everything's fine. But then you get to the mid game. And all of a sudden, you enter the mid game.
No, that's not fine.
That's not fine.
That's not fine.
That's not fine.
If you fail a dive and you will die, that's not fine. If you get stacked on a wave and get dove by the middle, it's not fine. It's done.
If you're down 2 dragons, that's also not a good
sign. It's not fine. Maybe it was in the back in the day. It's not fine now.
I don't think it was back in the day.
Not even back in the day, but like now, it's definitely not fine by no stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
We're talking in high elo. We're talking Master Plus.
Yep. Think about it. Yeah, dude, if you're versing me and I've dived you a bunch of times stacking dragon, dude, you're probably not going to beat me. I don't care how fucking good you are.
The mid-game
even
is...
if you give me Yushi or whatever, dude, you're not going to... It's going to be hard for you to win that game.
The mid-game is always going to be terrible if any of those, any one of those events happens.
It's completely out of your control.
It's out of your control.
You're brave anything to make mistakes.
That's right.
So this is, again, either these I categorize Exvius and Saber in these category of players who were challenger by playing like a shit ton, yeah. Like not really having like process, getting to the details sort of stuff. And then he's not that anymore. And then he's just talking all, and then not understanding the importance of the quality of the mistakes or, you know, just, he's just lost touch with the game.
Yeah. He's lost touch with the game massively. And it seems like maybe he enjoyed the mechanical aspect of the game. Hence why he is drawn to AD carry. Mm. Right. And albeit he probably was a very good mechanical player. Not discrediting that, but the game, everyone's good mechanically. Now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe his mechanics that were his standout thing, not that. And you got to be better. You got to be smarter. You got to be more holistic. You got to understand the wave states, the reset. Everything's got to be better.
You understand what your team's doing, the enemy team's doing. You got to get in their mind. You didn't really have to do that a couple of years ago.
No.
You know?
No.
The game is getting harder, more competitive. That's awesome. And that's how any game is going to be. And any game that's been, you know, as matured as League of Legends 14 years, like, you're not going to enjoy the game if you're a player from Season 3. It's never going to be like that
And it's
again.
Always, and this is, I want to kind of, I'm not referencing Exvius and Saber here, but time and time again, the people with the biggest critiques are often these old school players who were S Season 2 Diamond. Like, again, I spoke about this last episode where, like, one of these guys, his friends is, like, in my Discord. He's, like, really toxic. And keeps referring how he was Diamond in Season 3 as best Janna in NA or whatever the fuck it is. And, like, all he has to say is miserable shit about the game. How bad the game is, how good it used to be. You know? And it's just embarrassing.
I mean, when I say this sort of stuff, I'm really excited for the new blood in the game.
Me too.
Like, you know, and like the new generation of the high level, like people like in NA, like JoJo Pion and stuff like that, dude, just fucking good at the game. You know, he talks about the game, loves the game.
Even Aguren.
Aguren's an old school player though.
But the way he conducts himself, it's not confusing why he's rank one.
No, Aguren's a perfect example, guys. He can review his games just brilliantly. He understands why he's winning and losing games. Oh, dude, there's a really good example. Maybe I could use this for Eclipse next episode or something like that. But he was watching Tarzan review like a game of him versus Dantes or something like that. And the Tarzan review was like 30 minutes long. He's at like 8 minutes. And then Aguren's like, yeah, the game's over. Like, stop. You know, like, because he understands the end of review process.
Yeah.
He understands when the game's over. Stop looking at the rest. Stop.
Yeah,
the review. If you're going to be a really good high-level player, you want to be like one of the best players, you want to challenge a player, you've got to have respect for the basic mistakes. Again, going back for that Blitzcrank hook at the beginning and showing that clip that Exvius and Saber did, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, 100%. The idea, and this is, I think, something we both really struggle to get across in our coaching. You know, the people that get it, but that idea that one mistake changes the entire trajectory of the game.
Absolutely.
And like, if you don't die there, you stay strong, you stay farm, that changes everything. You know, that because it's hard to visualize what it would feel like if you don't do that. You know, for the average player, it is actually very difficult.
It is.
You have to feel it. You have to feel, that's why I keep saying, you got to feel what it's like to get into the mid game without dying, farming 9 CS per minute. That's what I tell people. You got to feel it at least once. You don't know what it feels like. If you don't know what it feels like, you don't know what you're missing out on. You know? So yeah, I'm totally with you. I'm so on board with that. Like, I can't wait. Like, I feel like the way it should be, it's like, let's just eject out all the people that piss on the game.
Yeah.
Like, kick them out the plane. They're done. Put them at the back of the bus.
Yeah.
Throw them out. Eject. Get out. Like you either adapt with the times and respect the game, you know, actually see it for what it is, the beauty of the game, the difficulty of the game, the brutal nature of the game, and you accept it for what it is and respect the game, or you get out. That's it. Hmm. And you see it. You actually see the divide.
We are seeing
the Aguren, the old school player that's respecting it, and then the Bjergsen that quits.
Yeah.
Good riddance. Yeah. Get rid of these players that don't respect the game, who are burnt out or hate the game.
Don't play solo.
Don't play, take solo queue seriously. Hmm. Just get the fuck out.
Hmm.
It's that simple.
And I mean, we are seeing it though, Curtis. I mean, you know, again, there's a lot of salty challenger players that are now going down to master tier and D1. Even see it on our server as well. You know, like, they're slowly getting renowned by this new blood. It's going to take another 10 years, hey, whatever. Years, but you know, it is going to happen eventually because you're just stale. This is how people drop off in sports and everything. Your view of the game gets outdated and you just don't adapt with the times, and that's just the reality. That's how the world works.
Yeah. Continue on.
And, you know, if you're even, the solos will probably be 2 to 3 levels above you. And if you're behind, they're like 4 levels above you. And you're like, okay, wait, I can't go top because I just get dove by enemy solo laner. Okay, I just go mid, but then I can't touch the midway because I instantly die to jungle or mid or support or anything. Oh, I guess I just sit here and just wait. You just sit there and you just like wait for something to happen, you know? I'm busy clearing minions mid. Oh, shit, everyone's so strong. They're just like killing my whole team. I can't do anything. Oh, by the time they get soul or they have Baron, I'm like, man, could I have like even participated in anything without instantly dying? Your like job is to like instantly die and then hope your team wins. It's like, bro, what? Like,
but then how are there high rated AD carries?
Mm. And how is the enemy team strong?
How are some of the highest rated solo players AD carries?
Mm.
Someone, you know, there's a weak strong.
There's clearly
something going on here. there's something going wrong here.
I mean, yeah, even that statement of like everyone's so strong on the enemy, it's like, well, like how are they strong? Are people strong on your team? Is there win conditions? Did you stuff off the lane phase?
Yeah, if you swap top, if you died bot and then you swap top into a fed Aurelia or a fed Jax, yeah, it's gonna have you're gonna have a hard time. Mm. But if you won lane, you know, you're actually kind of strong. You go into mid lane or go into top, they're not going to be able to kill you, and you're going to be a nuisance. Which is exactly what I experienced at my server with very good AD carries who get fed. They take over a game, and it's hard to deal with.
And you know what they're doing as well? They're like spam pinging like the next tower and like hover me on this wave and shit. Like they're really aggressive
and they're hard to kill.
And they're very hard to kill. Yeah,
very very hard to kill.
Like if they will hold their flash, and if they have flash up, like you're never going to kill them.
Yep.
Or you have to, like, your mindset is, I need to burn this flash this fight, a couple of us die, and then we're going to win the next fight or something like that.
Yeah, that's usually how it is. I die one team fight, they kill us all, but then we burn their flash, that's and then we kill them the next one. That's
it's
right.
Like chess.
Yeah, that's right.
You take this, I take that.
Maybe I'm very jaded. Maybe take this with a grain of salt, guys. I'm a very jaded ADC main who's quitting the game, you know? So,
like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like this is such, like, it's like, I personally think that this is such a dicky thing to say. It's like, I'm just going to say all these extreme things. I'm just going to make all these extreme claims about the game. But
I'm jaded.
Just throw it away. I could be jaded and I could know what I'm talking. Like, you can't say that.
No, you got to come in and say, this is my opinion of the game. Yeah. This is why I'm quitting. Fuck this game.
Yeah, like, what, you're just sitting on the fence. Say what you truly mean. Mm. Like, you're just, again, it's like fake news. It's like, you're saying all this shit, but do you, what... You're just discrediting everything you said or not. Like, it's just such a weird video. Hmm. Like, that's the vibe. It's just a weird fucking video.
And, I mean, this is why I watched the first 3 minutes and sort of got the...
What's the point of making this video? If you're just going to say, these are all these statements, I don't actually... Do I really believe them? I don't know. I'm just jaded. And it all just ties back to the thing. Stage 4 issues. He doesn't actually know what he's talking about. He's really emotional. He's broken down. And he shouldn't be talking about game balance. That's the fact.
That's right. He's lost touch with the game.
He's lost the plot.
He's in all his, you know that.
And
meme?
Look, you know, this is the thing. We're going to get fucking roasted here, dude. Like, I know. Like yeah, people are going to come in who love.
It's fine, Curtis. Where
is it?
I think this is great. I think that when people watch our podcast, we have a very clear way of viewing the game. Yeah. Curtis, we have a very clear way of getting results for our clients. We're very good at getting results for our clients.
I feel like we're the best.
Like, Curtis, I think we got to really go even more ham, Curtis. There is no coach in the entire world that has watched more lower ELO. You know, people say like sometimes we're out of touch with high ELO. Guys, I watched 10 to 15 gold, between gold and master tier games per day, reviewing, record the VOD, write some notes, upload to my program. There is no one else in the world that does that. Yeah. And that's between mid lane and jungle.
We've done the...
We need to double down,
Curtis. No, we've done the most coaching in the world. Period.
By far. And there's it's no one's even close.
It's not even close. No. You can't... No coach in the, it could have been...
Because everyone else does 1 hour coaching sessions.
Yeah, it's impossible.
They don't see as many games as we do.
That's correct. Across all ELO brackets. And now even below gold. Below plat.
Yep.
So
that's what I think, Curtis.
Saying is that I'm just going to warn you that they're going to come for us in the comments. They're going to read this and be like, you guys are just blah, blah, blah,
We have a lot of people in our community, Curtis, that understand this game. And those people that disagree with our message, you know, in a couple of years' time, they're going to be like, I wonder what Curtis...
they just don't get results. That's right. I mean, yeah, that's it.
Oops. Maybe what I say is a bunch of bullshit. But I just wanted to make this video because I feel like you guys deserve like a last video. Like that last video, I announced my intentions, but I didn't actually make like a final video, guys, for you to watch. And I didn't think I'd get like emotional or anything, but you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been playing the game for like 13 years. You know, it's like my life. I grew up with this game. I made a career out of this game, right? And it's just kind of sad that, like, you know, it put you. I probably will like not be making any more videos again. You know, like the only like. We can talk about like, oh, he's gonna come back to the game, you know, give it like a month, like when his money runs out, he'll come back, bro. I'm going to McDonald's, man. Like I'm working at McDonald's. I'm becoming a janitor, bro. I'm like fucking going back to, I'm dusting off that CS degree. I'm out of here, man. Like I'm not coming back to this. If the game is still like, there's no way, there's basically no universe where I am coming back to the game if it's like this. Okay, there's just zero chance. Like if you look at my videos, right, besides the gameplay videos, I think you
like this, the most balanced the game has ever been in the history of League, even from the overwhelming consensus in the League community, is that the game has never been as good as it is now.
Yep.
From the community, every basically subreddit,
the diversity of champions in pro play.
Think about the meta. You can play so many things in pro play. Yeah. It's, the game is literally the most balanced it has ever been.
It should rephrase it. So I'm not coming to the game unless it was like I was playing in season 9, season 10. That's how you should rephrase it.
That's how he should phrase it.
He's never going to come back to the game that it was in his mind.
Yeah, and I feel bad for him. I do. I genuinely... like feel bad. You can tell he's going through a lot of shit. Like this is a big decision. Like
13 years,
same as us. We played the game for the same time, and it's a massive. You can tell it's a massive part of his life. Obviously, it is a massive part of his life. So, you know, it's. I can tell. Like it's a big decision. It's a big fucking decision. So, I definitely don't have anything bad to say about that. I can see how he's definitely jacked up right now.
You can accurately track how much I'm enjoying the game by the like handcrafted videos I make, like the educational ones, the ones you guys like, the ones that hopefully you guys learn something from. The amount of those I make will tell you, and montages too. Those will tell you how much I'm enjoying the game slash how, you know, pretty much how much I'm enjoying the game, right? How much I love the game. And if you just look through like the last, I don't know, like 2 years, maybe there really hasn't been much at all, if anything, because I find it hard to put effort into something that I don't enjoy. And I'm sure many of you guys can relate. You guys doing your 9-to-5 that you hate and you're like, bro, I need to quit this shit. That is me, man. That is me. You can't be living your life doing something you hate 8 hours a day. I don't really think that's living. And, I'm streaming, I'm playing video games for a living, but you know, it's the same thing. I mean, I don't want to sit here playing Minecraft 8 hours a day, you know, like, yeah, you gotta do something you enjoy to have what I think is a fulfilling life, right? Like you can't just do things you hate and then expect things to be like better 5-10 years down the road. I think realistically, 5-10 years later, you're gonna look back and be like, holy shit, like I'm like fucking wasting my life. Like what's going on? And I have arrived at that point with League of Legends. Okay, and then some of you guys are like, oh, why don't you like role swap? Like, why don't you play mid? Why don't you play jungle? Why don't you play... It's like, I don't know, man. I don't wanna play that stuff, you know? Like ADC is my role. That's my role, man. I play League of Legends because ADC is sick, bro. Like, remember when team fighting used to be like, you're like kiting someone out, you're like dodging important abilities, and then like eventually opening arrives, and then you can like flash forward, jump forward, or use your abilities, and you can start cleaning people up, or maybe you like are like waiting out their abilities, and then somehow that like your team dies, but like it's still fine because you can still stop the Baron, right? Stuff like that. They can't just Baron in your face. You can stall the game out. You can get to your power spikes, and then you can actually carry when you get there. And then like nowadays, no matter what you do, you are one tapped. Like no matter what build you go, no matter how strong you are, somebody will always, you will always be in one shot.
It's a very convenient clip, isn't it? With you got a Morgana, you got a Lulu mid with a
lots of pill,
lots of, you got a Sigewinder, you got double, you got like a tank, and you got a Lulu and you got a Morgana. So you got a lot of stuff. So it's a Caitlyn composition essentially.
Mm, protect the Caitlyn.
Yeah, protect the Caitlyn. So yeah, I mean, we still have those, they exist, but they're just shit. So not a great way to win the game. Everyone's got losing lanes with one winning lane. It's not, not a great way to play the game anymore.
No.
Which makes sense.
No. Somebody will always, you will always be in one shot range the entire game. Like straight up. Like
that's just bullshit.
Yeah.
You're not always in one shot range.
No. That's just how the game works right now. Right. I don't find that very fun.
Okay, so let's just look at it. He's 13-2. Okay, so let's just look at this for a second, right? This clip. He's 13-2. He's five levels up on a... This is a Zyra support with one item by 22 minutes. Oh. He has first strike. He has a full completed Lord Dom. Was it like a... Yeah, Lord Dom's with a Ghost Blade and a Collector. Right. And then he one-shots. Which, you know, I guess, you know, makes sense. This is a very extreme example.
Very extreme example.
And then look at this.
I don't find that very fun. Okay? I don't think that's the same game. At all.
This clip's interesting. So Silas is four levels down. Okay, now this is actually something you got to keep in mind, right? So this Silas has gone the full damage build. He's got Night Harvester, he's got Shadow Flame, he's got Sorks, and then an Easy Large Rod. So this Silas, what would have happened is that Silas would have got bounties here. I reckon. I think Silas would have got a bounty, like big fat shutdown or whatever, and got like a shit ton of gold. Like he's behind, but he got a shit ton of gold here, right? And then what happened is that Silas landed the full combo. Right? Look at this. So he's...
I don't find that very...
The full combo, basically.
Okay, I don't think...
That's actually like with the E. So he probably also... I don't know what runes this Silas has to see.
I don't find that very fun.
Yeah, Dark Harvest with 12 Dark Harvest also has probably Sudden Impact as well. To be honest, a full Glass Cannon Caitlyn... You know, if you take a full two and a half item, full magic pen champion doesn't basically one shot a squishy who's out of position that you can land your full combo on, basically.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's basically showing us a clip, dude. He's too tanky here.
And then he literally two hits.
Yeah.
Literally two hits the Silas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, these are just extreme examples.
Yeah.
Like, these are just not great examples. Like, when do you ever see a 14-2 Caitlyn?
That's five levels.
You know?
Up. Everyone on the enemy team's checked out of the
it's
game.
It's just like, this it's is like real. A meme. It's not real. This is not League. This is not what we experience. Like, you can take any extreme... Again, this is what... Talk about extreme claims or, like, these bold claims require extreme evidence or whatever it is. You know, this is just, like, niche crap. This is niche crap examples. Which, in my opinion, actually discredit a lot of what he's saying. Like, because I feel like it's just, you know, it's kind of discrediting what he's saying. So having the opposite effect, at least for me.
Game at all. Not the same game at all. A game at all. Okay. So what am I going to be doing? Well, if it's not McDonald's.
Well, I think he goes on to explain. Right. Yeah. So I think that's pretty much the end of the clip.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, great. I think we basically got across. I think we got across what we needed to get across. I think it makes sense. And anything else?
Let us know in the comment. No, I'm just kidding. Don't let us. I'm just kidding. No, let us know. Yeah. I mean, again, just coming back to Wheat Curtis, we have a very clear way of viewing the game, coaching the game, and we shouldn't shy away from that. And
actually, we love good, playing. Good the game. On him for doing something that he doesn't enjoy. If he genuinely doesn't like the game,
taking the decision to quit. Right? We recommend that to our
we
clients.
We recommend that.
If you're enjoying the game, dude, don't even just bother. Just, you know.
Good call.
That's just so important. So
good call.
All right, I'm actually underprepared for this episode, Curtis. I don't have a summoner school post.
Okay, do you want to go into Curtis's clips then?
We'll go into Curtis's clips.
All right, so let's get into the details, guys. And welcome, everyone, to Curtis's Clip Corner. All right, so we're getting into the details here. So basically, I've been fascinated with this idea that people are willing to completely 50-50 flip a game off these plays, you know, and then I'm doing these reviews and I'm like, what are you actually thinking? All right. So essentially, I'm going to go through two clips in this one game. The first one gets across the point. It's not perfect, but the second one will really drive it home. You know, he's killing it right now in Akshan. He's 4-1, doing a really great job. And, you know, my philosophy when it comes to winning games in mid anyway is, you know, you take high, you get, you obviously got to have champ mastery. You got to know what you want. You got to know your spikes. You got to know, you know, where people are. You know, and when it comes to, you just got to value your life. You got to value your life. You can't be okay with taking a 1-for-1 unless there's a big fat bounty. But in this case, I'm pretty sure he's the one with the bounty. And so in this position, as an Akshan, you're killing it. You just got to keep, you know, get a bunch of prio. Your team's doing dragon. Just an opportunity will present itself because you're strong. You're going to get, you're getting towards your first item. We don't really need to rush anything. We don't need to force. The games will literally hand themselves and deliver them on a platter if you didn't just survive, right? And so what happens here, right, is that his team is on the dragon and he didn't know where the enemy jungle was or the enemy support, right? And look what happens here. He basically clips the Q on the Talia and then just goes. And I remember watching this and I'm like, did you even know? Did you have an idea where the jungler was? Did you think about it? He has no sums, right? Talia has all of her abilities still. Did you know this was scary or did you just not care? You know, at the end of the day, some people are just willing to take risk. But this idea, like, what happens if the Kindred just pops out of mid? Mm-hmm. What happens if the Leona just pops out of mid? In this case, Leona actually does come behind and then he ends up getting chased down the river and dies. Mm. You know, and it's just like, when I look at this, it's like, we don't need to do this.
It's very important to understand this concept. I mean, guys, think about this from Curtis's perspective as a challenger mid lane. If you're playing this Elo, Curtis, you're not even doing that.
No,
you're not doing this.
I don't need to do this.
What Elo is? This is Diamond 4.
This is like Emerald.
Emerald, okay.
Right? Yeah, Diamond 4, high Emerald, Diamond 4. Like, I know, like, you know, if you have faith in your ability, you're just going to, I promise you, you know, if you're ahead, opportunities will present themselves. Now, that doesn't mean you can sit back, relax. You still got to be on the lookout. But this isn't it. This is not an opportunity. Don't confuse this with an opportunity. If what people genuinely see this as an opportunity. People think, oh, I can go in and win a really good trade.
Yeah.
But, and if I go in and I kill them, I'm really, really strong. But if the jungler happens to be there and I die, my lane's over. Mm. Or I just throw my lead. Mm. Or now the game is really, really hard. Mm. Like, they're okay with that idea. They're okay with taking that risk.
I think people, again, this is where, you know, just as you experience as a player, because, you know, we talk about, you know, the opportunities will present themselves. You know, sometimes it's just hard for them to see it. They don't know what that looks like, right? You know, and that's, yeah, again, sort of the hard thing is, because this is what the thing I struggled with as well, is I didn't know what those looked like. I didn't understand that I could counter jungle like here and there, you know, like I didn't understand that,
right,
the enemy is going to give me an opportunity 60 seconds in advance. I can get this because I've lost tempo there. You know, this is what high elo players, the way we think. Mm. And that's hard. I had to learn that skill myself. So,
and you're
that's,
not going to learn it people though.
Because that's how they think they win games.
Yeah.
And they do win games sometimes.
Yeah.
From
that's
it,
the
right?
Yeah, you're actually spot on. They think that the way to win League is get extremely fed and, you know, come out ahead in these kind of flippy
and
plays.
It has to be the plays that
you're making the proactive one in that, kind of call it proactive one, and creating that window to go in. And yeah, you're spot on. Now this is in the same game later in the game, and he's 7-3 at this point. Really strong. He doesn't know where the jungler is here. Right, he has no vision of the jungle here at this stage. He has no flash. Right, he's doing a pretty good job, and look at this. He still doesn't know where the jungler is, and then he just goes in with his E blind. Now, at the exact same time, look at this. Kindred shows bot. Kindred could have easily just been hovering the Talia here. And I was thinking, I would expect the Kindred to be hovering mid. Look at the way the Talia is positioning here. Talia's hardcore hovering on the bot side of the lane here. My Spidey sense would be thinking, well, it's pretty likely Kindred's somewhere on that bot side. Look at this. He blindly swings into fog. Look at that. Mm. Blindly. Mm. And he's got lucky this time. He got lucky that
Kindred happened to show the exact same time that he
Kindred
goes
just
in.
Happened to be ganking bot at the exact same time. Yeah. And again, it's the same thing. I'm like, dude, you're a coin flip player.
This is where the inconsistency
is.
This
is why you're Diamond 4. That's why I said it. Exactly, I said straight up. Right, this is why you're Diamond 4. I said, your skirmishing is pretty good.
Yep.
Your laning's pretty good. You're ticking all the boxes. I'm like, dude, if you just said no to these plays, you would be so much higher rank.
Yep.
Think about that.
Love it.
So simple. And it's simple, but it's not simple.
It's, that's right. As we always say, we league.
So it's a simple concept, but hard to execute.
Yes.
All right, moving on.
Moving on. Mailbag time. Away we go. Song. All righty then. First question here comes from a Sane Belveth One Trick Pony. That's the name of this person. The title of this email is "Coming Back to League After a 2 month Break." Dear Broken by Concepts, I've gone on vacation to a place where I couldn't play League for 2 months. In this time, my obsession with the game has only grown. I discovered your podcast along with other content to educate myself during my trip. Before this trip, I felt like I hit a roadblock stuck in low gold, before Emerald was the thing. I was unable to review my own games because I simply couldn't understand my mistakes. So I've learned other roles, get into gold in top and support. But now I want to get back to jungle and finally break that gold barrier. When I played jungle and my understanding of jungle tracking, sequencing, camps, and tempo was non-existent. Now I feel like I do understand these ideas and can review my games looking for these mistakes, but I have this sinking feeling that I won't enjoy the game anymore, that I'll try to practice these concepts and then utterly fail to see my other mistakes or get to the point where I can't review my games again. The last time I got stuck, I got coaching. It didn't help me get unstuck. They pointed out my mistakes, but I wasn't able to understand why they happened or the concepts they were trying to teach me. It's only been watching other junglers and basically every Belveth video on YouTube, I wish I was exaggerating, have I been able to understand jungle tracking and priority. I just don't want to get stuck again, and if you have any advice for me before starting League again, much appreciated.
You're the jungle guy. I don't know.
I just don't want to get stuck again. You are going to get stuck again. Firstly, that's the way League of Legends works. So he's afraid of applying these concepts that he learned.
So it seems like what he's... I mean, just spitballing here. It seems like he's worried about, I guess, getting in a... like, over... maybe overemphasizing one concept and forgetting the others. Or maybe, like, getting in, like, a rut where, like, you think the game revolves around one thing, but there's all these other things, and then, like...
he would get overwhelmed and overwhelmed, just doesn't know what's next. I mean, so he says he's tried coaching. I don't know who this coach was, so. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to be, you know, I mean, I'm just going to say, you got to just join Soltu. Just your life becomes easier. I'll tell you exactly what to prioritize. You'll make your games way clearer and understand how to review your games. That's going to speed things up. Like, I mean, that is true. I mean, that's normal. That's going to happen. Like, if you were able to understand all your mistakes, going back to that Akshan clip and stuff like that, he didn't see that, you know? He's bringing that review. He didn't see that sort of stuff. And this is the positives of coaches. This is why people get other people's perspectives in the game. So, I would get rid of this failure. I mean, even if you don't want to get the coaching, just keep having a crack. Like, you know, this is fine. Like, you're watching a lot of Belveth videos. It seems to help. That's great. That's a huge focus on Champ Master, which we love. Watching...
agreed.
The best players of your champion helps you take your champion to another level, and I think that is some of the best ways. But yeah, I wouldn't worry about that at all. It's not possible for you, and none of your peers as well know the mistakes that they're making. So as long as you're just doing things a little bit better, intention, process, I'm really relaxed, dude. I think everything you're saying here is fantastic.
I think you should just stick with it. I agree. I don't mind someone just picking one thing, working on it, understanding it, and then it might not change your rank. But, you know, as we've mentioned many times in this podcast, sometimes it is the culmination of many skills together that lead to a shift in rank, you know? It might not be one thing or two things. It could be a handful of things. So, you know, chip away at it. Have some fun. Like, that journey and, like, chipping away and adding little things. Or now, okay, now I actually am thinking about where they're starting. Or now I'm actually thinking more about...
Tempo
or like what's actually happening in the lanes now or getting to this spike. Or great, pick one at a time. Just work on it, chip away.
And getting stuck is actually exciting. Problem solving. You know, think about, okay, experiment with this here and there. what happens if, you know, I'm dying here, or maybe this game feels like, okay, I was really far ahead this game. Why couldn't I close it out faster? Just do some thought experiments. You know, these high quality questions will help you a lot. So yeah, I think just keep chipping away at it. Again, if you want to speed up the process, obviously join my Soul 2 coaching program. It's going to make things a lot easier for you. And you have a whole bunch of community as well that's been through the exact same journey of, you know, getting through to gold and that sort of stuff. So that's that question. Next question here comes from Giorgio. How to deal with weird champs picked in off rolls. Hey, Curtis and Nathan, been following the podcast for a while, and thank you. And I think you guys have been putting out some amazing content. I'll get straight to my question. How do I mentally deal with weird champ picks in off rolls? For context, I'm high gold, low plat, and I main AD carry, and so often my support is something strange like Shaco, Teemo, Orianna, Fizz, and the enemy team frequently has one tricks like Pyke, Leona, Thresh, and so on. When I get the good supports, I often win lane, and when I get the weird ones, I often lose. It's not even bot. I get a lot of Renekton and Garen mids, or Gwen and Cho'Gath junglers, and so often the enemy team has competent players on each role. I know it's completely out of my control what my team picks, but what gives? Why do I feel like I'm the only person that deals with this? I tell you what, you feel like you're the only person that deals with this because everyone, you have main character syndrome. You're overemphasizing the times that you get it and not thinking about all the free wins that you've got and playing against Shaco stuff. Like, this is very natural human sort of stuff. So the game's not against you, but just in terms of really practical thing about how to deal with these champions in off rolls. I mean, Curtis, you're the laner here, but I sort of have the jungle perspective around champs like Teemo and stuff like that. Like, I mean, maybe you're not used to what the strengths in champion, but I feel like if you're sort of at this level, you probably have a good idea of what every champion does. Okay, so let's just break down a specific example. What is Teemo really good into, Curtis? Teemo's really good into champs that rely on auto attacks, right? And he's not very good at like champs against like mages with AoE and all sorts of stuff, like Syndra, Vlad, all that sort of stuff. So you can assess, okay, if I'm a jungler, is Teemo good into the enemy team comp? If it is, maybe it's actually good for pick. You can actually play into it. That's a thing. Shaco support. What's Shaco support really good at doing? Disengage. I'm assuming it's AP Shaco support usually. Disengage in. Think about how do they want to play fights? You don't even have to think about it in terms of win condition. Let's say you're playing, it sounds like he's an ADK player. You got a Shaco support.
Because AP Shaco support is actually good.
Yeah, it can be very good. Annoying. But it's not going to be like...
Not in lane, really.
He listed off champs like Leona and Thresh, like champs that he's used to has clear identity, but he isn't very used to playing with
Shaco. At the end of the day, you don't even need to... Like, I'm sure these aren't happening super, super common. Like, if we looked at your OBG and looked at your past 40 games, right? I'm sure it's not that common. Like, how many Shaco, how many Fizz support? You probably got one. And then one, and maybe you got a Garen, one, two Garen mid games, and then, and then like three Shaco. It's not that many in the grand scheme of things. So, like, in my eyes, I wouldn't even give it too much thought. It's like, play around with it. If it's that common and it's that popular and you are getting them, then you'll kind of intuitively figure out what its strengths and weaknesses is. Like, oh, okay, well, Shaco's not really going to provide much peel unless I have boxes, so maybe I should stand around the boxes. And you make these observations, but I don't think you need to necessarily focus on that for the start. Like, I think you'll intuitively feel it out. Just be open-minded. Every champ has strengths and weaknesses. Like Nathan said, you're used to the Thresh and the Raul and the Leona. Right, you know what they do, so it's very obvious like what they do. Maybe these other champs are a little bit more nuanced. Whether they're weaker or stronger, it doesn't matter. Just think about what they roughly do intuitively. You'll build that muscle memory of time. And if it's so rare that you see it once in every 50 games, then leave it. Screw it. Doesn't matter. You know. And even if you don't understand what it does, they don't understand either. You know what I mean? Like, it has positives and negatives. And also, I will say here, like Nathan said, you're spot on. Like, we just remember those painful experiences more. We emphasize those painful experiences more than the positive. So yeah, that's why you feel like you probably get them more than the enemy. So it's an equal chance, right? It's an equal chance that the enemy's going to have the troll support and then you're going to have the troll support. Yeah. That's it.
Focus on your control, your fundamentals, clicking close to your character, good positioning. The game's not going to be maybe as easy. But again, I think in terms of the grand scheme of your journey, it's really not that important.
Agreed.
Next one here is from AJ.
Actually, sorry, there is one more thing I will add on to that. You could even go on YouTube and type in Shaco support.
Okay.
I'm sure there's someone out there that plays Shaco support that has a video on it. Or there's a high elo VOD of it. Just watch it. Just be curious. Sometimes I'll do that. I'll just watch a champ.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what does that champ do? What is, going look to practice their perspective.
What do they want to do?
Look at it from
their
perspective. Just skim through it. It's at a basic level. You don't need to be super advanced. Just basics.
Next question here comes from AJ. Tyler's in was, how coaching has made me a better player. Hey, Curtis and Nathan, I wanted to write in to share my experiences since becoming a coach. My name's AJ in the Midland Academy, known as Ajax or AJ. It's like AJ.
AJ, yeah.
That's how it sounds, right? RJ.
I think it's AJ, I don't know.
As you may know, I've been playing League since I was 11 years old. I'm now 24. Wow, 13 years. I've been playing as long as XFSN Sabre. But within the last year, I have improved so quickly that it's unbelievable. I think within this last year, and especially the last few months, as I've become a coach, it's really opened my mind to be flexible and truly understand the process and the ability to discard, toss away old narratives in place of new learnings. Having helped so many different people with so many champions and situations, I feel like I've gained so much more perspective on each champion, each type of player, and people in general. And because of this, I have such an open mind now when it comes to learning. And I feel like you must really understand both the game and the concepts talked about in the programs in order to teach it. Sure, I did the 3-block process, reviewing, etc. before, but only after becoming a coach did I truly master and understand these techniques along with the skills inside the game. I recently had a scrim versus a high challenger mid, and I absolutely smashed him playing champions like Jace, Talia, and Akali, whereas just last year I was struggling playing only Yone and Akali. Just like for anything else in life, you really don't understand perspective or how hard something is until you do it. For coaching, I quickly realized just how difficult it is and mentally taxing it is, and I applaud the work you guys have done, seeing as I do maybe 10 to 15% of the volume as you guys, and it forces me to really think and it drains me afterwards. Anyways, I just wanted to also share my appreciation for you guys and Curtis for giving me this opportunity as well as for my growth. I also wanted to ask if you guys felt such experience the same things when you do coaching work. Do you think it also makes you a better player? Did it make you a better player when you first started?
So if you have a bit of context, AJ now does a coaching session a week in the program.
Yep.
And so giving him that opportunity, and he's really grown a lot, and he's really, you could tell he was always like, you know, there's people I latch onto in my programs, like Mysterious and AJ are so similar, even though they're from different parts of the world, like just open-minded, curious, smart, intelligent individuals. And he just learns quick, and he's just a very overall this nice guy. And he, when I was gone to China, he took over coaching for a week as well. So just a really, really smart guy, high low player. And when he joined, he was primarily like a Yone player, but you could tell like he just knew a lot about the game. Like he just played every champ in the game, but he just needed to think about it more. Like he was very intuitive. And like, I think he's now like over this past year or so, just really thinking about the way the game works. So he's working in the MLA, and in terms of making us, or at least me, a better player, I would say 100%. Because you're forced to research about all these champs and, you know, making guides on all these champs and forcing yourself to learn them and play them and understand what the stroke, like, you know, I think that something I didn't understand, and now I'm assuming you understand now, AJ, is that without playing the champ yourself and feeling what it's like, it's very hard to teach it. It's
extremely hard.
Like I remember I've said this before, like I had a discussion on Twitter with Vega V2 about this. I said, like, unless you play the champ at a high elo, it's very hard to teach it. And he said, no, I disagree. I think, you know, as long as you understand the concepts, you know, you can teach any champ, blah, 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 any role. I said, all right, well, I just disagree. I think that, I mean, sure you can, but the level in which you can teach, the quality of the coaching that you can do, in my opinion, is just so much higher, because not only do you understand the problems, you actually feel the problems. Yeah. I know what it feels like to be a Jace that dies in this scenario. I know what
these
it feels like.
These were the problems
like
that I had when I was learning the champion, yes, which they could relate to. Someone like Vega V2, again, he's at the end potentially, and he's just missing all the steps here that he's unable to get across.
He probably has the idea, the knowledge to he knows probably what to say, or like what that person needs to do. Mm.
But the teaching aspect is
a different ballgame. And again, I'm not going to sit here and comment about his coaching. I don't watch his coaching, so I'm not going to quote or comment about his coaching. I can't say that. But, you know, I'm sure he's very good at what he does. But I think that the levels in which you can reach It's just when you play the champ, it's another level. And so yeah, being a good coach, I force myself to play, change my champ all the time, play all these different champions, be uncomfortable. And that process is just, it makes you a better player. Yeah. It just makes you an incredible, way better player.
I love your example, because you talked to the podcast before about your Aurelion Sol journey. You've had a bunch of diamond Aurelion Sol players. You're like, that was me. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're feeling like that, because I did that. And then once I did this, I thought about it this way, a little bit differently. Then I was able to get way better results for the champion.
That's right. Just and a few little things.
And you had all this knowledge, amazing knowledge about Aurelion Sol beforehand, but you didn't have the really practical knowledge.
That's right. There's theoretical and practical knowledge. You're 100% right. Like, what actually matters to win a game, like really small things, and how that feels, and how would you come to that conclusion? Where would you need to be directing your attention? How would you need to be feeling? What mindset would you have to have? If you can have that level of understanding for all these champs, when you verse these champs, you're just on another level, because you're already anticipating what they're feeling and what you need to do. Mm. For me right now, the only problem as a player is just I just mechanics. Really, like I make mechanical failures, and sometimes mental stack overload. That's really it. Like, I know what I got to do.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a testament to how difficult the game is. The mental stack is the hard bit.
So hard.
And then also just one thing I will say, I totally agree with. Coaching is exhausting still to this day.
Yeah.
Right? No amount of coaching. We've done thousands of coaching sessions for years.
Yeah.
I'm still exhausted after every coaching session mentally.
Yeah.
Like, I've gotten better at it, but like, I'm still tired.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I think it feels like if you do,
you're going to be like a League of Legends game, especially in the speed that I'm reviewing, right? Because I review very quickly.
Yeah, you review faster than me. Yeah.
I'm like, it's like, where the enemy jungle start? Like, bam, bam. Like, I need the context. I build up the context of the game really quickly.
Yeah.
You know? And like that takes a lot of brain power no matter what.
Yep.
I have obviously the muscle memory of lots of situations and I'm more efficient at it, but it's still, I need to, because yeah, my job is how can I get as much context of the game as possible with able to skip through it as quickly as possible.
That's right. Yep. You want to know exactly how they feel, why they feel that way, what they should be feeling, and why, and where they would need to direct their attention as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the luxury of sitting there and playing that game for 30 minutes to get the context.
Exactly right, yes.
It's exactly hard. Right. I'm exhausted. After I do a 2-hour coaching, I'm just dead.
Dead, yeah. Packing in for the day. Yeah.
You're two a day, you're just fried.
All right, we'll do one more question here. This one's from Kenneth. The title of this email is, how to motivate my buddy into playing solo queue. Dear CC and NM, greetings from Hong Kong. Recently, I've converted a friend of mine into a fellow solo queue enthusiast. Introduced him into some episodes of BBC, and he seemed to get some of the mentalities. He complained less and focused more on his own mistakes and actually improved. Very interesting. But here's the thing. After a period of break, he wouldn't play solo queue on his main and would even grind bot games. I believe he won one game with every single champion in the game within a week. I told him to stop wasting his time and should just get games in, but he wouldn't listen and say he would do it when he is ready. He did play some flex and even borrowed my second account to play solo queue, higher rank than his main, so I really believe he has ranked anxiety because he is scared of losing LP. I'm really afraid that this would turn into a downward spiral where he would develop some negative narratives about League and his own level of play. How can I motivate, convince him to stop caring so much about his LP and just get the games into improve? But still, shout out to my boy Jackie for finally reaching gold before the end of Split 1.
So we actually did an episode, I think he should refer to, the one on avoidance. Remember that one? We spoke about how the danger of avoiding, the more you avoid something, the worse it becomes. Because
you keep building up the reasons to not do it.
Yeah. And so I recommend for him, he should watch that. I can't remember the episode number. You have to find it. If you do a search on the thing, I'm pretty sure it's in the title, like avoidance or something like that. And essentially the idea is that, you know, the more you avoid something, the more painful it becomes. And so for him, you know, what I would remind him is say, look, man, if you delay playing on your main, like, you got one or two choices. You're either playing ranked now or just you're throwing, like, you're never coming back. Like, because it would just be so painful and so difficult to do. Have you got it there?
I thought it was this for the solo queue anxiety cycle. Was that it or was that
something
else?
That's a different. Oh. I swear I had avoidance in it, but I don't know. I could be wrong. So someone who knows the BBC lore and knows what we talk about.
Plenty of people watched every episode.
You'll have to... Nah, it wasn't avoidance then. So someone, we need help in the comments here.
I'm pretty sure Curtis is a solo queue anxiety
cycle. Solo queue anxiety cycle?
Yes, it's not avoidance. It's about anxiety. About
okay,
anxiety
so well. That was the one...
Episode 147.
147. Okay. So check out episode 147. Hopefully that's it. Yeah, so the worse it will get. So he needs to like nip it in the butt now.
Yeah.
Otherwise he will dig himself out deeper. Every day he plays on another account... Mm. The worst is going to get. Mm. So he's got to do it now. Mm. And I think what you need to let him know, it's like, yeah, it's going to suck. You're going to fail. You're going to lose your rank. You're going to go down. You're going to go up. You're going to lose. You're going to have a shitty time. You're going to have a great time. It's going to be a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But just, you got to send it. And you got to shift the solo queue from being this massive event to it being your dojo.
It's just a normal day in the office.
Because the way he's viewing it is that the solo queue is the big event, yep. And the normal games, the bot games, that's his safe. That's his safety little dojo. It's the other way around. Well, actually, no, it's not the other way around. It's just there is the only dojo is, there is no event. The only dojo is the solo queue summoner's rift.
That's right.
And the only way you do that is by setting yourself, what I recommend to people, the solo queue contract. Literally write a date between the start date, end date. Between these two dates, my name is Jackie. I will do 1-3 block a day. I will play only these champs. I will dodge my off roll. I will mute all every game. I will blah, 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 blah. However you want to conduct yourself on the Solo Queue Rift, do that. Lock it in. Rain, hail, or shine 2 weeks and then see how he feels at the end of the 2 weeks and do a reflection. Ideally, if you can make it 3, it's even better, but 2 or 3, both fine. And it will be fine 98% of the time, 99% of the time, that your solo queue ranked anxiety will disappear.
Okay.
That's my little prescription.
Prescription. You're Dr. Curtis right here.
Yeah.
Prescribed, that's what I recommend. Medication.
Yep.
For getting them excited about ranked.
Yep.
The way that I'll get your friend, if you really want him to, get into the excitement of the ranked League of Legends, improving the fun that we have, Curtis, playing the game, what I would do is I would get his main champ, right? Type up some really high elo VODs or like maybe a one trick or something like that. And just like say, oh, like I saw this play from, like show him the potential. So I'm like, oh, like you don't, yeah. You know, sort of just do it like very subtly.
Right.
Know? It's like, oh, wow. I was like watching this. I was like, dude, how cool is this? And like, this is a challenger player with this champion. Like, oh, like I've seen you do this before. You know what I mean? Like get him excited about what's possible with like champions, you know, like, because I even, you know, that on Zed video with Curtis, right? Review, dude, that just makes me
so
look
cool.
Zed. Like, dude, I'm fucking jungle. I'm never going to play Zed, but that makes me even a little bit want to play. Like, dude, I want to play Zed. Like, this champ's so cool, right? Because challenger players make the champ just look beautiful.
Yep.
The execution is obviously insanely hard and takes years.
And I don't even play Talon, and I regularly watch Lurk's montages.
There you go.
Because it's just cool. It just looks awesome.
That motivates you to get into solo queue play, yeah. You know? Watching Aguren super motivated me, dude. Like this is awesome. This guy's having so much fun. It's just beautiful. He's losing games. His team's just falling apart. Like, this is what my games look like. You know, it just gets relatable. It's really cool.
Beautiful.
All right, that's it for this episode then, Curtis, today. Good work, guys. Let's keep on improving, and we'll see you guys next time.